A difficult relationship can make for a difficult life. If you just can't seem to figure out what the problem is in one of your important relationships, maybe there's something else going on that you need to learn about. Head over to loveandabuse.com and check out the podcast that might just save your emotional well-being.
Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I want to help you increase your emotional intelligence, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and give you the tools to show up as your authentic self. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Where are all the toxic people? Are you listening? Probably not. Because toxic people don't want to improve themselves. They don't want to become better. They just want other people to change for them or stay under their control or their watchful eye. And the toxic people in our lives want to make us do things that we don't necessarily want to do. And a lot of the nicest people I know are actually under a toxic person's control. And that needs to change. It's very difficult, and I don't know if the world's ever going to change into something different than it is now with the toxic person being the one in control. But when there are toxic people in control of your life, life is very challenging. You can be very unhappy when a toxic person is in control of your life. I spent many years with a toxic person as a child and a teenager, because my stepfather was an abusive alcoholic, and I've talked about him many times, but he is the most prominent toxic figure in my life, so that's why I bring him up, because a lot of us have a prominent toxic figure in our life. And when we do, we have to either deal with it and wait for it to be over, or deal with it in a way that shows the toxic person that they have no control over us. There's other ways to deal with that too, but those are the two main ways I look at a toxic person. You either have to deal with it, accept that's who they are, and they're never going to change, which can be quite liberating, or deal with it by making them accountable. Here's a third deal with it. Deal with it by leaving. Deal with it by getting out of their life, so that they can, and this is going to sound terrible, prey on someone else. There's a reason I said that. I don't want a toxic person to prey on anyone, and I don't want that to be the reason you leave. But here's what happens. Sometimes you are the victim of a toxic person's behavior, and you are the sole victim in some sort of triangulation where people gang up on you and believe the toxic person's lies about you. And when the toxic person and everyone else gangs up on you, you feel alone. You feel like you have no power. You have no idea what to do because everyone's against you. You have nowhere to turn. In a relationship with a narcissist or a sociopath or a highly emotionally abusive person, usually there's a main person, a main subject of interest for that abusive person. And quite often, especially with a narcissist and sociopath, they will run a smear campaign against that person and cause that person to feel so isolated because they're telling everyone else how bad of a person that is, even though the person saying that is the problem. So they make the caring, supportive, compassionate, innocent person sound like the terrible one, the abusive one. And the narcissist, the sociopath, or the emotionally abusive person gets away with what they're doing because people tend to believe them. I am going somewhere with this because I received an email that I would like to read to you that has to do with a toxic person in a household. This person is a woman in college, and she has 5 roommates, and she says she would love my opinion on something. I've not addressed something like this before on the show, which is why I wanted to read it, and of course, I want to help and see if I can give you an opinion that, I don't know, maybe of some value to you, or maybe it'll be something that you don't want to hear. I often say those kind of things. I will often say things that some people don't want to hear because it is the truth. It is me being transparent. And just like I said earlier, sometimes you have to accept that a toxic person will never change. Again, that is the most liberating thing you can do. If you know for a fact that someone will never, ever change, you free yourself from hope, from wishful thinking. You free yourself from waiting for things to be different because you know they'll never be different. That is freeing. It's probably still not fun to be around the toxic person, but I think a lot of us torture ourselves by thinking that the toxic person is finally going to come around and realize how awful they're being. It is possible. I mean, I've seen this many times. I've seen toxic people or emotionally abusive people turn around, they stop their behavior, they have some big realization, and they just start treating people better. And when they do that, the relationships can improve, and everything just takes a turn for the better. When that happens, that is wonderful, but never expect it. Never look for it. Never wait for it. Just know it will never happen because that frees you from the rut. The rut is wishful thinking. The rut is hoping and wanting and wishing and praying that somebody will finally get it. They'll finally see that they're hurting you. How long does it have to go on before you finally say they're never going to change? And then how long will it take for you to believe that? I go straight to the idea that they'll never change. Oh, that's the way that person is. I guess they'll never change. I won't expect anything more from them. It's like the first time somebody lies to me. You know, if they're a good friend and I catch them in a lie, I make a mental note. I say, oh, this person lies. Good to know. They are this far down on my list now. They used to be higher, but now they're way down here. So I know I can't trust them, and I have to be careful what I say to them. That's empowering. When you define somebody in your mind, it empowers you to label them in a way. And we're not supposed to label people, but I'm talking about toxic people. I think it's very helpful to label many, all toxic people, because it helps you organize them in your brain. So when you see them again, you can say, oh, that person's a liar and a cheater. That person's a liar and a cheater, so I'll never trust them with any information that I don't want out there, and I'll never get into a relationship with them because they cheat. So this is freeing for me. This is great. I set myself up to win because I know who they are. Yeah, but don't you have compassion? Don't you give them a second chance? If someone were to ask me that, I would say, absolutely yes. Absolutely. I would definitely give them a second chance. But that second chance is predicated on future behavior. It's never predicated on who I am. And what I mean by that is, I might be compassionate and caring and loving, and I give people the benefit of the doubt, and I try to see the best in people. That may all be a part of me. But I've already labeled this person, this toxic person, or this person who has toxic elements to them. I've already labeled them, which puts them in this category in my mind, so they're organized. Toxic people over there, healthy people over here, somewhere in between are other people, and then these people I haven't defined yet. I've labeled them, and now they're in this space in my mind, and let's just say we'll use the cheater and the liar. This person's a cheater and a liar, so I'm not going to, you know, mistreat them or disrespect them. I'm still going to treat them as I would a lot of people, with kindness and respect, and they have to prove through their future actions that they are never going to lie to me again and are never going to cheat. And how do they do that? I have to watch. I have to be aware. I have to figure out if they are apologetic. I have to wait to see if they ever come to me and said, hey, you know, 3 years ago I lied to you and I just wanted to admit it. I just want to tell you about it now. That proves character to me. That shows that this person might actually deserve a second chance. If somebody comes up to you years later and said, you know, I lied to you many years ago and I feel so bad about it and I'm sorry and I'm not looking for forgiveness. I just want to tell you this. I just want to get it off my chest. You didn't deserve it. I'm so sorry. If they're genuine, that seems to me to be an opportunity to reconsider giving them a second chance. So in the beginning, they didn't really have a second chance in my mind because they are who they are and they're never going to change. But now they're showing up different. And this is an opportunity for them to come clean or show that they're never going to do that again. It really depends. There are different people that will have to show up in different ways. But I need to be convinced, or at least as close to convinced as I can be, in order for me to give them a second chance. So this person might show up again, might apologize for lying to me, might even admit a few things I didn't know about, and suddenly they're back on the radar. They're possibly back in my good graces, and now maybe they deserve a second chance. Maybe I should give it. I don't know. It depends on how I feel. But I've left the door open enough to reconnect at a deeper level without shutting it completely. And that's just a protection mechanism for me so that they don't accidentally walk through it. I will keep my foot on the door so they don't walk through it. And at the same time, I am open to what they have to share. I also may say, hey, you lied to me once and I haven't been able to trust you since. So that's where our relationship has been. And, you know, that's fine. That's who you are. Or that's what you did. And you felt like you needed to do it. But this is why we're never going to be as close as we can be. I'm not saying I would necessarily say that. I think when somebody crosses the line, I just kind of check it off in my mind. I may address it. I may say, hey, you just lied. I caught you in a lie. I actually probably would say that, but I would say, you know, something like that. And at the same time, whether I said it or not, I'm going to make that little checkbox in my mind. And now they are labeled and put in that special category in my mind so that I don't make a mistake and get any closer to somebody I know will hurt me. Because this is what we do sometimes. We hang around toxic people that are hurting us and we are exposing ourselves to toxic behavior, especially those of us that are in the rut of wishing and hoping and praying and waiting for someone to change. If you stay in that rut, you will be in that rut forever. If you stay in that rut, the rut of wishing and hoping and waiting and praying and just wanting them to change, if you are in that rut today, you will be in that rut 10 years from now. You may be in that rut for the rest of your life. And I say that knowing that there are exceptions, knowing that I could be wrong about certain people. But I'm trying to free you from being in that rut. Because here's what's going to happen. If you get yourself out of that rut and you say, look, I'm not going to wait around any longer. This person's never going to change. I'm going to choose to believe that this person will never change. That's going to free me from the rut. I get out of the rut. And then one day they show up different. They apologize. You have a heart-to-heart conversation. You talk about the past. You clear things up. Great. You know what that is? That is a pleasant surprise. And that pleasant surprise can help you redefine them. That pleasant surprise can help you take away the old label. And now you can ask yourself if they deserve another chance in your life. But until then, they are who they are today. Like my girlfriend says, you are not your potential. I didn't like it when I first heard it, but it applies especially to toxic people. You are not the person that you say you're going to be. You are not the person that I hope you will be. You are not the person that I want you to be. You are not the person that I see in the future. You are not that person. You are the person that's showing up today as you are today. And if I accept that about you, I free me. I get out of the rut. I get out of the rut of what I would consider toxic thinking. Because any thinking that keeps you anxious or feeling antsy or just hoping and praying and wishing and waiting for something to change and keeping you on the edge of your seat all the time and not seeing the changes but continuing to push forward, hoping they change, if you're in that rut, it's toxic thinking because you are poisoning your mental health. It's like I tell people that are with addicts or know an addict. If you're with an addict or know an addict, know that they will stay addicted. I know that sounds so unfair. It sounds so uncaring. It doesn't sound compassionate. But if you know they will stay addicted and you know that they will do anything to feed that addiction, it frees you from the hope that they'll be different. I mean, there's nothing wrong with hoping someone will be different. But when that hope leads to these bad feelings inside of you and you're just waiting for them to change because you're hoping it will happen, you're better off knowing it won't and being so happy if and when it does. That doesn't mean you don't try to help them if they reach out for help. If an addict is reaching out to you for help and saying, I know I'm addicted, I know I am, I need help to stop this, I want to stop this, then by all means, if that's something you can do, if you can help, if you can get them checked into rehab, go to whatever professional that they require, by all means, you know, certainly. But just like I learned in my 20 years when I was in my youth around an alcoholic, no matter how much I wished and prayed and hoped they'd changed, they never did. And it bothered me daily. It bothered the heck out of my mom. She hated it. And she wished every day that he would stop or change or see that he was hurting her. Your pain, your suffering is not enough for some people. It's not enough accountability. That's why it's best to see them as they are, who they are today, and let them be. And what that really means is you have to take responsibility for you. That means that you have to look at your life and figure out what you're going to do next, knowing that person will never change. I've heard from so many people that said, I'm just, you know, waiting to see if they get it. I'm just hoping that they'll figure it out. I always tell them, look at the trend line. Look at what has happened in the last 6 months, the last 5 years, the last 20 years. Are they getting better? Is that trend line going up and to the right? Because if it is, if the trend is they're getting better day by day or week by week or month by month, then maybe there is a good reason to wait. But if that trend line never changes, it stays steady, or it's going down and to the right, it never seems to get better, you know, on average, then it's time to face the facts. This thing isn't going to change. They aren't going to be someone else. If their level of improvement hasn't changed or got worse over the last few years, expect it to see it continue that way. Like I said, I got an email that I want to read to you. It's about someone going to college and their roommates and the one toxic person that seems to be running the show. This should be a good one. We'll be right back. I'll read that email and we'll see where we go with it. Be right back after this. I am so grateful for services like BetterHelp. They are the sponsor of this episode, BetterHelp Online Therapy. I like talking about them. You've probably heard me say this before, but I am so grateful they exist because it's rare that I do one-on-one coaching anymore. In fact, I do not offer that as a service as of this recording, and I used to do that all the time. So as soon as I phased that out, I found out about BetterHelp. And I've since talked about them on the show many times, and you're going to hear about them this year and next year because we have a great relationship. And the reason we have a great relationship is because not only did I talk to a couple of the professionals working for their service, but I've also heard much positive feedback that tells me that they're doing good. And it matters that they're doing good. It matters to you, because if you're looking for any type of professional counseling for depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, or grief or self-esteem, they offer a convenient, professional, and affordable service with licensed professional counselors. And like I said, I've heard from many people that have used the service thanking me for letting them know about it. And maybe they didn't hear it from me, maybe they heard it on another podcast, but when they sponsor an episode, I like to come on and tell you about them. So I highly recommend you check out BetterHelp. If you are feeling down and out or depressed, or maybe you feel like you're at a total loss, if your stress is high and your temper is shorter than usual, maybe you just need a chance to vent or unload and get it all out, this is your opportunity to talk to someone who is completely unbiased about your life. Head over to betterhelp.com/brain and you'll get 10% off their first month. That's BetterHelp, two words, BetterHelp.com/brain. Get your 10% off your first month and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Start living a happier life today. Welcome back. Glad you're still here. I'm going to read you that email I was talking about, and let's see if we can help this person out. I think this is a girl. Yes. Hello, your podcast has helped me through a lot of rough patches in my life, so I wanted to say thank you for that. You're welcome. Sorry you had to go through those rough patches, but what is it? Builds wisdom, builds experience, and hopefully you can avoid those same rough patches in the future. She goes on, right now I'm having issues with my 5 roommates at college, and I'd love to get some advice. One of my roommates I have known for a while, but living with her quickly made me realize she is toxic and manipulative. I've given her multiple chances, and I've had conversations with her, telling her how I feel degraded and like I can't talk to her at all. She's very stubborn, and she doesn't realize the results of her actions. She's gotten the whole house to fall under her command, and she's definitely the ringleader, but I am not her follower, and I think that upsets her because she thinks that I should be at her beck and call. Recently, we had a house meeting, which I had been bringing up, so that we can all participate in chores. I was pretty much doing most of the chores and wanted to figure a way for all of us to do them. Seconds into the conversation, I quickly realized that they had all talked before we had the meeting, and they ganged up on me. The roommate I was closest with, the toxic one, had found a way to pin everyone else against me. She was making passive-aggressive comments, and the conversation was obviously a complete dig at me and the way I like to live in a clean and orderly home. I retreated and did not get to say half the things I wanted to talk about. I crawled into a shell. Even the roommates I thought would stand up for me didn't say a word. When I called out the toxic one and said, "You're being passive-aggressive," she said, "No, I'm not," and then completely disregarded my feelings. The other roommate started laughing and said it was because they were nervous and didn't like tension. This felt like a giant slap in the face, and I wanted to cry. I was sick to my stomach that they were being very mean girls to me, and I was 5 against 1. I was kind to them after, and I acted like nothing happened, even though I went to my room and cried. They have no idea what they did or the effect that this conversation had on me, and I regret not saying anything. It is too late, and my family is telling me not to act like the victim and just take care of myself and act like this didn't happen. They are right, and I think I need to just be more confident and act normal, but distance myself from them. However, I'm worried. What if I need a ride to the grocery store or home from my night classes? I don't want to ask them because I have reached a point where they are my roommates and not my friends. I have other friends. They do not. But this is still my living environment, and it makes me uncomfortable thinking about not being friends with them and just being courteous. I hate confrontation, and I have another 8 months of living with them. I don't know how to handle this. I feel like my family is right, but it goes against me for standing up for myself and internalizing my emotions, which is not good for my mental health. I would love your input on this situation. Okay. That's a great email, because that is a tough situation. It's a great email to talk about, I should say, and it's a great subject to talk about, because how many of us have been around people that we had no choice to be around? It sounds like you are in a situation where you have no choice to be around these people, and so you have to figure out a way to do it and keep your sanity. Here's the good news. It's only 8 months. If anything, it's only 8 more months. You can do almost anything for 8 months. It's like when I talk about when you're at a lousy job and you finally made the decision that you're going to quit. You tell yourself, you know what? I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit this job. I've made up my mind. I'm going to do it. And if it's a real stressful job and you can't wait to get out of there, you're going to be so happy counting down the days that your final day arrives so that you can get the heck out of there. And every time you go to work after you make a decision like that is different. So if you've gone to work every day and it's been stressful and you can't stand it and you feel like you're stuck there, but then you make the decision internally, you've decided this is the day I'm going to quit. You know the day. The next day doesn't seem as bad as the last one. You may still deal with some stresses. You may have to deal with the dysfunctional coworkers or the drama or the mean boss or whatever it is. But you know the last day is coming. So you can look to the future and say, that is where I'm heading. So I'm always moving in that direction. I don't know about you, but that's a good feeling to me. Whenever I've been in a situation I didn't like, I determine how much time is left in that situation. That was me in high school. When I was in high school, I could not wait to get out. In fact, I told my mom, I want to quit school. I can't stand it. But year after year, I decided to stay because I kept focusing on how much time I had left. And it shouldn't be depressing when you know that every single day that you get closer to that final day is one step toward the end of your journey, at least in this part of your life. When every single day is counting down, then what I talked about in the last segment, hoping and wishing and praying, those really don't apply because it's fact. You know for a fact, in 8 months, you're not going to be with these people anymore. So they could be the biggest jerks, or at least one or two of them, or they could be your friends at one time and maybe they're not now. On and on. You can be in almost any situation for 8 months. You can stand it. And let's use common sense. If there's physical aggression or violence, we have a different situation, but you're not talking about that. This is an emotional space that you're having trouble with. And, you know, there's differences of opinion, and you keep a cleaner house than they do, and chores, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But for the most part, I want you to focus on 8 months to go. That means tomorrow it's 7 months and 29 days. And guess what the next day is? 7 months and 28 days. It sounds like such a long time, but time goes fast, and as long as you stay busy, that time will continue to go fast, because when you get out of this situation, you know you're going to be in a much better space. That's not the only thing I'm going to tell you, because you might get out of this situation and get into another situation with different roommates, and now it starts all over again, and you have to fight this battle again. But that's something I want to squash as soon as possible. In fact, that's my next piece of advice, if you want to look at it that way as advice, is next time you're in a situation like this, look for the first clues of toxicity. And these are hard to get, but you need to be very conscientious of your own boundaries. You need to be conscientious of other people's behaviors, and if they're crossing your boundaries, or if they're doing things that you know are either irritating to you, annoying to you, are a big problem for you in some other way. Once you know your own boundaries, what you will and won't accept in life, once you know them through and through, then when the first sign of toxicity appears, you can say something about it. And I know what you're saying. I'm afraid of confrontation. Here's the problem with that. If you're afraid of confrontation, you set yourself up for this exact situation over and over and over again in your life. I speak from experience. This is exactly the person I used to be. That doesn't mean I want you to confront. In fact, Here's how I look at confrontation. Confrontation isn't about confronting someone else. It's about honoring yourself. And the approach is different. If I were to confront someone else for, I don't know, taking my shopping cart at the grocery store, something benign, something that they probably didn't even mean to do, but let's just say I got irritated, like maybe that's the second time they did it, like, hey buddy, why are you taking my shopping cart? But let's just say I decided to confront them. I could approach them and say, hey you jerk, that's the second time you took my shopping cart, don't ever do that again. That kind of confrontation could elicit an aggressive response. They could say, what the hell is your problem? Why are you being so angry? It was a mistake or whatever. So there's that. That could be definitely considered a confrontation. Or I could approach this person and say, hey, can I have my cart back? And that's it. I'm honoring myself by getting the cart back. And this person's probably going to laugh and say, oh, I did it again. I'm so stupid. You know, or whatever. They're going to say something. And then you get your cart and you're on your way. That's a minor example. But you can tell the difference. There's a difference in the approach. And certainly it doesn't compare to what you're going through. Because what you're going through, yeah, you live with them. And there's a toxic person. That person is being passive aggressive. How do you deal with that? Well, if it were happening to me, especially with passive aggressive people, A, listen to my episode on passive-aggressive people. Go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com and type in the word passive, and you will find probably several episodes on passive-aggressiveness. But I made a very informative episode on passive-aggressive people and how to deal with them. My, in a nutshell, response to passive-aggressive people is to ask them questions. Because we're so used to defending ourselves, we're so used to explaining ourselves, we're so used to trying to show them that what they are saying about us or what they're trying to do to us, that they're wrong or that they're incorrect or that they're mistaken. But their goal is to get what they want in a passive way so that they can get what they want. My goal with passive-aggressive people, and maybe your goal should be this too, is when someone is passive-aggressive with you, ask them a question. What do I mean? Let's just say that this toxic person says, well, we wouldn't want to leave a sock on the floor because someone might freak out because the whole place is dirty from that one sock. That sounds like a very passive-aggressive thing that this toxic person might say. Ooh, we wouldn't want to leave a sock on the floor because we don't want someone to get angry. Even though you know they're talking about you. That's not a direct comment. That's not a direct insult. It's a passive way to put you down or make you feel bad. And so when you know it's about you, or at least believe it's about you, ask the question, and this is a simple one, what do you mean by that? Just a simple question. What do you mean by that? Because the passive-aggressive person also hates confrontation, and they don't want to have to explain what they mean, most people. But if this person is more direct, she'll probably tell you what she means. Well, we know that you're a clean freak and you're going to hate that sock on the floor, and she might answer that way. Or she will feel very uncomfortable. In fact, she'll probably do both. She'll probably answer you directly and feel very uncomfortable doing so. But what you're doing is you are conditioning her and the environment that when there is passive aggressiveness in the environment, you're going to challenge that passive aggressiveness with an inquiry of some sort. And the inquiry is going to make the passive aggressive person feel very uncomfortable because now they have to be direct aggressive. Now they have to be confrontational, which is what they don't like to do. Passive-aggressive people hate confrontation too, except they still try to get their way by being passive-aggressive. So this is how I try to thwart passive-aggressive people, is asking them questions. What do you mean by that? I'm sorry, can you explain? What do you mean by that? That puts them on the spot. And the more you do it, the less passive-aggressive, this is the goal, and I'm not saying it works 100% of the time, but it's certainly worth trying. the more you do it, the more you are inquisitive with the passive aggressive person. What do you mean by that? Can you elaborate on that, if you want to say it that way? The more you do that, the less likely they'll want to say anything around you, because they'll be so uncomfortable being put on the spot. Passive aggressive people don't want to be put on the spot. They don't want to have to explain themselves. They just want to get away with it. The problem that might develop from this is that there will be more, I guess I could call it triangulation, where it's them against you. This one person is setting up a scenario where other people are against you. And in narcissistic abuse, the people that are set up to be against you are called flying monkeys. I think it's a great term. I don't know if it's an official psychiatric term, but it is something that victims of narcissistic abuse have had to deal with, the flying monkeys. And the flying monkeys are a reference to the Wizard of Oz, where the Wicked Witch had all these flying monkeys that she could command to do anything, and that's pretty much describing the narcissist. The narcissist will tell your friends, tell the people that you know mutually, that there's a problem with you, you're the issue, you're to blame, and they'll be very convincing. And the flying monkeys just hear it and they go, oh, that must be true, because this person sounds so convincing, so it must be true. And the flying monkeys just are, they're like lemmings. They just follow whatever the narcissist says. So you may have a case or a minor case of flying monkeys here, where you're facing certain people that believe things about you that aren't true. That's tough. But here's the thing. I'm going to agree with your parents about being the victim, because if you choose to stay the victim, which means you're defensive, you're always trying to explain yourself, you appear visibly frustrated in front of them, you are complaining, any of the drama that usually comes with being a victim, and you are a victim. I mean, you're a victim in this little mess that's happening. I believe that. At the same time, the more you play that victim, the more the toxic one feeds off of it. Toxic people feed off your victimness. They drain you when you're a victim, because they work off your emotions. This is why another emotional abuse term comes into play, gray rock. Gray rock is when you act like a lifeless, dull gray rock. You look at a rock, it's a lifeless, dull gray rock. Unless you're friends with rocks. But if you're not, most people would look at a rock and not expect an emotional response. And this is what gray rock is all about, is that when you have a conversation with somebody and you are a gray rock, really all you're conversing about are the facts. You're just conversing about data, information. It's like the Star Trek character, Data. That's his name, Data. He computes information, and rarely does he show an emotional response, except for some unique episodes. But he's basically a set of instructions that looks at all the information and makes an analysis and forms a reply or a response. And so I look at that as sort of gray rock, where somebody is trying to get an emotional response from you, but you don't show it. Here's the problem for the toxic person. The toxic person feeds off of your emotional response. If you don't show an emotional response, they have nothing to feed off of. They can't tell if they made you angry or if you're chuckling inside. They can't tell. You're just a dull, lifeless, gray rock. So when somebody says, well, we wouldn't want to leave a sock on the floor, somebody might get upset and have a freak out, and your facial expression doesn't change, you don't have a little micro expression of anger, you don't do anything, if you're just a lifeless, dull, gray rock, the bully doesn't win. I mean, in high school, when the bully was picking on me and I stopped acting like the victim, I stopped acting like the person that was emotionally affected, at least negatively emotionally affected, the bully stopped picking on me because they couldn't get the charge out of me that they used to get. The charge charges them. The emotional draining they do gives them a charge. It makes them feel powerful. It makes them energized. It helps fulfill a purpose.
in a lot of cases for them. And that's a terrible thing. I hope that person grows out of it. But she's probably doing that for that emotional response. And people like that, like you said, she runs the household or whatever you said. She's taking over in many ways. They expect others to fall into line, and they do that by getting their emotional response. They read the room. So that could happen where you start asking questions and she starts being more direct, but she gets her flying monkeys to gang up on you like she did this one time. And then what do you do? Now you have everyone against you. But I come back to step one. Ask them questions too. It's sort of like when I talk about when a child of divorced parents goes to one of the parents' houses and says, Daddy said that you took all his money and that you're a mean person and you're the reason he was in jail. Daddy said all that stuff. The mom in this case might have a reaction to that and say, what? You can't believe that. Daddy is lying to you. The mom could say that. And when she says that, the problem with that is that daddy is probably telling the child, your mommy's going to lie to you and tell you that it's not true. So I just want to let you know that mommy will lie to you about that. She's going to say she didn't do any of that stuff. But you and I know that's a lie. People can set their kid up like a flying monkey. So the little child goes to the other home. You know, they have to split custody and stuff. And now the mom is busy trying to defend herself. I didn't do that. And explain to the kid, that's not true. This is what really happened. And on and on and on. And the kid doesn't know who to believe. But really, they'll probably believe the toxic one. That's usually what happens. And so what I tell people to do is when they're in this situation and they have to share custody, is that when the kid comes home and says, so-and-so, daddy or mommy or whoever, said that you did this and you did that and you're the mean one and you're the reason that they have no money anymore and you're this and you're that. When that happens, I tell the parent being blamed by the kid who's hearing it from the other parent to ask the child the question, do you think that's true? That's the question. Do you think that's true? Because what it does is it disables the original tactic that the toxic person was trying to use. The toxic person is trying to set up the other person, the other parent in this case, to have a reaction. The toxic person needs a reaction for their tactics to work. So when the other parent decides not to have a reaction, but instead empower the child to come up with their own answer by asking the question, what do you think? Do you think that's true? Or something along those lines. It forces the child to go into their mind and have to weigh a lot of things, probably their trust in both parents, because most children trust both parents. And if one of those parents is telling them not to trust the other one, then the child, and children are brilliant, they're going to figure out that this one parent keeps saying don't trust the other one, but the other parent is telling you to trust yourself simply by asking the question, what do you think? And so this is the question I like to ask any flying monkey. What do you think? Do you think that's true? Just like this person can ask her roommates. What do you think? Do you think that what this other person said is true about me? Instead of defending yourself, instead of explaining yourself, instead of playing a dramatic victim, and I don't mean to put you down when I say dramatic victim, but the toxic person is going to call you dramatic. Everyone's going to think you're dramatic because they're flying monkeys. So how do you thwart that? You need to reply with questions and just be curious. What do you think? Do you think that's true? Well, she said you would freak out if we had one sock on the floor. Do you really think I'd freak out? I just want to know. Because by not having a highly charged emotional response, they're going to start seeing the toxic person for who they are. And they may already see her for that. They may already know she's toxic. If they know she's toxic, and like you said, they're uncomfortable around her, and they were just laughing because they were uncomfortable, and they know she's toxic. If that's true, if they know she's toxic,
then when one person stands up to her, the other people may follow suit. I'm not necessarily giving you advice to do that. You could. If it were me, I'm 6'4", 200 pounds. I could probably stand up to somebody and say, you need to back off. You need to respect my boundaries and you need to shut your mouth. But that's me. And I don't mind most consequences to that. Now, if I knew they were a dangerous person, if I knew I was in any physical harm, or if I just didn't want to make waves for the next 8 months, because once 8 months is over, I'll be out of there, then I may not say anything. I may act like that dull gray rock. I may just be inquisitive and ask those questions every time something happens, or I'm passive-aggressively pointed out. If that happens, then, yeah, I might have to ask the questions. Could you elaborate on that? What do you mean by that? Could you explain that? And further down the road with the flying monkeys, what do you think? Do you think that's true? And so these are some things you can do in the meantime, but it still may not solve the problem. You still may have a toxic alpha in there who knows how to round the gang up and gang up against you. That still may exist. It still may be the case, in which case you may need to just hide out for 8 months. That's a terrible thing. I don't want you to have to do that. I would rather you stand up and be comfortable in your own skin and walk in the house and say, this house is a mess. Everyone should do their own chores. I'm going to clean this hall in my room, and I'll clean the bathroom every Wednesday. And if you do that and nobody else steps up to clean it, then you could make them accountable and say, hey, look, you need to chip in too. You need to clean it as well. But that probably wouldn't go well. If nobody is in there wanting to chip in, I've had a roommate before, and he was a great guy, but it's very difficult to live with one person, let alone five other people. So you're all going to have different ideas of what a clean house is. You're all going to have different ideas if the house should even be clean, if you should play music after 11, or should it be after 3 a.m.? You're all going to have different ideas, and because of that, you're pretty much stuck with people that you may just have to accept who they are and just know that 8 months really isn't that long in the grand scheme of things. Plus, you have to know that a lot of the personalities that you're getting a taste of right now, they change. They change at that age. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I had an entirely different personality than I do now. I mean, I still have some of the core elements. I can remember that. But later on in life, a few years later, I was in a different job. I had different responsibilities. I was in different relationships. I changed. I matured. A few years after that, I'm in a different job and a different relationship, and I changed again. And our personalities go through changes. And what you see when you're in your late teens or early 20s isn't always who they are later on in life. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. So it is important to understand that the personalities that you're seeing are just trying to figure out the world the way they know how. That doesn't mean I think you should give the toxic person a big break, but it does mean that it is possible that these people will change. They'll shift. And we aren't our potential, so I know the changes aren't happening today, and you have to deal with what you have today, but that is one of those future possibilities that even the toxic person might look back and think, geez, I was such a bad person back then, or I was so mean, or I shouldn't have treated that person that way. And these things happen over time, and it's very difficult to see that far in the future, because it could take 20 years, but it is helpful to know that the person you're seeing now is like a baby on the planet. Even you, I don't want to call you a baby, but your life experience hasn't been long enough for you to develop some more tools, more resources, more understanding of what happens in the world for you to be able to get out of every sticky situation quite yet. I don't even know why I'm telling you that. Maybe because I don't want you to think that when you're in a situation like this in the future, things could go a lot different, because you'll notice behaviors that you didn't notice before, and you'll either put a stop to those behaviors by speaking up, or you'll just leave the situation, you know, just get out of it, because you know where it's going to lead. So it can be helpful to know that as you go through more and more years of your life, you will have experienced more situations that you know how to handle better. So just because you can't handle it now, I don't want you to be hard on yourself. I don't want you to think that you're a loser because you can't figure it out. No, it's because you just haven't had enough experience doing this stuff and relating to people and being in situations like this. It just takes a while to get through it. And of course, you know, listen to every episode of my show. This tells you how to be empowered, how to stay empowered, and how to take care of yourself and make the right decisions so that going forward, you don't have to deal with so many different toxic situations and toxic people. But like I said before, you may be stuck for the next 8 months and it can be difficult. Yes, you may not be able to get a ride one night. You may have to pay for an Uber or a Lyft. You may have to call a different friend if you need that ride. You may have to invest in a bicycle or a skateboard or whatever it takes to get home, but it's only for 8 months. And that can be helpful. And let me just give you this one last thought. I don't think I've mentioned it. Is that when you are no longer the victim. Oh yeah, this is why I was telling you this. When you're no longer the victim. When you're no longer the target of the toxicity. And a toxic person can't feed off of your emotional responses because you're no longer having them. They usually seek the next person out. They usually find the next victim. I mean, I hate to tell you to sicker on someone else, but that's what happens anyway. Because as soon as you empower yourself by not feeding into their toxic behavior, they usually find someone else. I see this all the time, especially with any type of emotional abuse or narcissistic abuse, is that once the victim of the abuse is no longer affected in an emotional way where the abuser can't feed off their emotional response, the abuser gets confused. They have no idea how to get their control back and they want to control so bad. That's where they feel the most comfortable. So they seek their next victim. And I've seen this happen all the time in romantic relationships where the abusive person will leave or the victim of that abuse will break up. And because the abusive person wanted to keep their control and wanted to keep the relationship, they end up finding another victim pretty darn quick. When you're in a romantic relationship and the person is emotionally abusive or hurtful or difficult or whatever, and you guys break up, and then they find someone else really quick and they seem so happy and they're posting pictures of themselves on Facebook, and you're just feeling down in the dumps because you just broke up and you thought you had something special, but they look happy as heck. What you're seeing is very likely the grooming of their next victim. So you have to be very careful not to take that personally as if it's something about you or against you. It's just that they found someone else to control. And you have to be very careful about that because we can beat ourselves up. And I've seen so many people beat themselves up because they thought that maybe they weren't lovable. Maybe they should have tried harder. Maybe they should have done something else. No, it's just that you chose not to be a victim anymore and left the relationship, which caused them to have to tie their puppet strings to the next person. And it just sounds so awful when I say it that way, but it really is what happens. It's like this other person becomes a puppet, and what was once a happy person becomes more and more unhappy or even depressed, and where you probably are confused and hurt and wishing things were different. This is when the toxic person can't feed off your emotions anymore. They find someone else. And this is what might happen in your situation. I hope this helps. I don't have all the answers. I know it's tough right now, but I tell you what, in the grand scheme of all the years you have ahead of you, this is going to seem like a drop in the ocean. It's going to be totally inconsequential. Next year, it's going to be totally inconsequential. And even if you have to go through this again, it's going to be like a flash of lightning. It's here and it's gone. And you're going to look back and say, oh, I remember that time when I lived with those women and I wrote to that guy on a podcast. I wonder if that guy's still alive. Let me look him up. And then that time ended, and I met this person that I fell in love with, and I got this job that I really loved, and then I quit that job for whatever reason. And you're going to have so many stories. You're going to have so much to share with others. And this moment is a blink in time. It will pass. You're going to be great. You're going to get through this. Don't lose confidence in yourself. Know that you can handle this. And also know that toxic people and their flying monkeys don't define who you are at the deepest level. Who you are is who you show up as and how you feel about yourself and what you do in your life. And the more you do and show up as who you are, the better you feel about yourself. But don't let any toxic person or any of their minions define who you are, because they are a bad source of information. If they say anything that puts you down or makes you feel any less than who you really are, they are not a credible source. They are not reputable. Any word or behavior from them that makes you feel less than who you are is simply wrong. They're just wrong. And toxic people and their minions cannot be trusted to define you. Thanks so much for writing. I do hope you're able to get through this situation. Stay strong, and you'll be on the other side of this before you know it. Thanks for listening to another episode. We'll be right back. I'm going to say my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our sponsor today, BetterHelp. Head over to betterhelp.com/brain. Get 10% off your first month today. I also want to thank our patrons of the week, the financial backers of this show, Michelle, Angela, Wanda, Kathleen, Victoria, Tracy, Anne-Marie, all of you wonderful, and of course, Emily. I'm not going to forget you, Emily. You're brand new. Thank you so much for being a patron of The Overwhelmed Brain and showing your support. I value you, and clearly you value what I offer over here, and that's why I have the patron program. If you are interested in supporting this show because you find value in it, head over to moretob.com, and you can join the patron program that gives you some extra goodies, or you can just give a one-time donation, totally up to you, moretob.com. Thank you, patrons. I appreciate all of you. Also, I talked about emotional abuse and narcissistic abuse and other things today that are so much fun. But I do have another podcast that really dives into the emotionally abusive ways that some people show up with. And if you need to learn more about how these difficult people operate and how to navigate a relationship that's experiencing such hurtful behavior, head over to loveandabuse.com and you'll hear my other podcast that talks about that. And if you think you're the difficult one, then I highly recommend going over to healedbeing.com. And if you're ready to stop hurting those you love, join that program over there, healedbeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And I talked about the other side of something. You get to the other side of something and things look a lot different. You can look at your past and say, wow, that was a tough time, and I'm so glad that's over. This person wrote to me and she said, you know, I want to thank you for the resources of Your Overwhelmed Brain and Love and Abuse, and plus the Mean Workbook and the Facebook group. I finally ended a relationship that went on for too long, and it was emotionally abusive, and all of the things that I listed above, you know, my shows and the group, have helped me to identify that I'm not crazy and what was actually going on. I feel empowered now, but also a little foolish for falling for his lies so many times. I finally see who he really is behind the mask that he puts on at the beginning of each cycle. At the start of the last cycle, I turned him on to your podcast, and I even turned him on to Healed Being, and he said he would go through it, but he decided to stop. So not surprisingly, here I am at the same place we were from the last cycle. But since I went back into the relationship with my eyes open this time and saw what was likely going to happen, I saw it unfold in the predictable pattern. thanks to you, I was able to identify that pattern, and this is what helped me keep my sanity and my self-confidence this time around. I'm finally totally done, and I'm able to see him for the person he really is beneath the mask of charm he wears so well. He clearly knows where to get help and how to get it, but he won't do it. And I've told him the behaviors that are hurtful, and he repeats them anyway. That's all I need to know. Let this abusive person be a part of my past. Moving on to a better future. Thanks for all you do. You make a difference. This is the kind of message that is so bittersweet, but mostly sweet. It is mostly inspirational because this person had to go through the cycle of hurtful behavior from someone that just couldn't stop. You know, I created the Healed Being program to help people stop, but some people, they're just not ready. You probably thought I was going to say, just can't do it. There are some people like that. There are some people that just can't do it. But there are also people that just aren't ready. You know, it takes a huge amount of humbleness and vulnerability to say, wow, I'm a hurtful person. I really am. I'm a hurtful person. It takes a huge amount of humbleness and vulnerability to get there, but to take the next step where you say, I really need to change myself. And if I don't, I'm going to ruin all my relationships. That's another huge step. And then the next huge step is actually doing it, actually taking those steps and then sticking to the path. I think a problem for a lot of people that hurt those they love is that no matter how much they want to change, there's still a small part of them that says, but I believe I'm right. And that is very tough to overcome. Very, very tough. In all of my romantic relationships, except for the one I'm in now, I was emotionally abusive. I wrote an article on it, and it's like number one in Google. If you look up how to stop being emotionally abusive or the healing journey from being emotionally abusive, you're going to find my article. And it talks about how I was an emotionally abusive person and how so difficult it was to change. I don't know if I highlighted the idea of always feeling like you're right, but there is that feeling inside a lot of hurtful people. Even if they know they're hurtful and they know that the other person is suffering, that small part of them convinces them that they're right and they have to control or change the other person. Just like this person with the 5 roommates, this toxic person probably really believes she is right. And when someone can't get past that, they can't change. If you know you're right, you can't change. And if you've been told you're hurting someone and you know you're right, so you're going to continue hurting them, it's just not going to go well. I mean, you can know you're right all the time, and if the other person is hurting, you're going to continue losing relationships. And there's a difference between knowing you're right about someone, like you know that person's toxic and they're never going to change, and you know you're hurting someone and you're never going to change. That's a difference. The victim is protecting themselves by accepting that the toxic person will never change. But the toxic person is doing outward behavior to cause hurt to other people. And if they know they're right, they're likely never going to change until they're humble and vulnerable enough to realize that maybe there's another way to live your life. And also, empathetic. They have to have some empathy, and usually when they're toxic, they're not accessing that empathy, or if they are, it's not strong enough to override their feeling that they need to do what they're doing. I know it sounds like I'm being a little bit lenient on the toxic person, but we all have the ability to do toxic behavior, and when we do it, hopefully we realize, oh, I don't want to hurt people. I want to stop doing that, so I need to learn how to stop doing that. And when you're like that, there's a chance. There's a chance that your life can change. I know when I was toxic for a good portion of my romantic relationships, every single relationship failed. Every single relationship that I used to blame on other people for not changing, when I got out of those relationships and finally took a break from relationships and said to myself, I got to stop being in relationships so I can figure out why they keep failing. And when I did that, and I finally stopped replacing the last person with the new person, I looked inward and realized maybe I was the common denominator in all this. And of course I was. Of course, if everyone leaves me, I am the common denominator. If everyone's unhappy around me, if everyone becomes depressed when they're with me, I am the common denominator. That's the day I took responsibility. That's the day I decided to heal myself. That's the day I finally looked at my behavior as toxic. And that's also the day I felt sick to my stomach, realizing I hurt so many people. Bad feeling. Even talking about it now does not give me a good feeling. I feel really awful that I mistreated some really good people. Luckily, the people that I could reach, I've apologized to, I've talked to. I've actually made friends with one of my exes that went through some hard times with me. And I'm here now trying to spread the word that life is so much easier without the burden of wanting to control or change people. That sounds so strange when I say it that way, but it really is a burden when you feel like you need to control or change others. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a bigger burden for the victim. They don't want to deal with that at all, but when the emotionally abusive or toxic person is carrying around the belief that they are right and they need to change others, it's constantly on your mind. You're always getting emotionally triggered. You're sensitive to things because they tick you off. And it's just no way to live life. It's stressful. So when I was able to heal from that and move beyond that and only focus on myself and not other people and not try to change them and let them live life and follow their own path, it changed my life. It changed their life. They actually want to be with me. They're happier with me, and I'm happier as a result of it. And everything I used to believe was simply wrong. I really believed I was right in needing to change these people, but it was wrong. So I want to share that story just in case anybody's listening that thinks that they need to be right and they need to change others and they need to control others because that's how you get the life you want. It always goes the wrong way. It never works. And I've tried it for many years. It doesn't work. And once you discover that allowing somebody to be themselves, to follow their own path, and when you support their path to happiness, that is showing somebody that you really care about them and that you truly do love them. Because love is supporting someone following their own path. And of course, we hope that they take the same path as us, but sometimes they don't. Because love is also supporting someone's path even when it's different than yours. At least that's how I define it. If you define it differently, then all I ask is that you keep an open mind. This helps you step into your power and create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.